saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Our second reading comes from Galatians 3, a reading from verses 19 to 29, and it's on page 1130 of your pew Bible. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions under the seed to whom the promises referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. And our gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 10, starting at verse 17, and you can find that on page 1040 in your NIV Bibles, John chapter 10. And as you know, we're working our way through John's gospel with the question in mind, who is Jesus? Who really is Jesus Christ? And in this passage, Jesus tells us, I am the gate for the sheep. And he also tells us, I am the good shepherd who laid down my life for the sheep. John chapter 10. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, they too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Maybe I should ask you as I'm making my way over here, how many of you recognize the voice of Dr. Doofenshmirtz? Hey, Stefan watches the same channel I do. Dr. Doofenshmirtz, he's a great guy, an evil scientist. Well, this maybe took place about a year ago, I'm not really sure, but I went to the school to pick up Samuel, you know, when the school bell rang, and as I was waiting for my little boy in the parking lot, I couldn't help but notice. I mean, there was no way not to overhear the conversation that was taking place in the parking lot between an older man, he was probably 20 or 30 years older than myself, and he was speaking with a school teacher, because this fellow was explaining to the teacher that he had been sent to take this little girl home with him because he was, in fact, her grandfather. I'm her grandfather, he said. And the little girl looked up at the teacher and said, "This is my grandfather." But the teacher, very politely, was saying, "I don't know who you are. Your name isn't on the list. And so you can't pick up this child. You can't and you won't until I get permission from her parents." Now, I wasn't really sure who I felt worse for at the time. I mean, this fellow, the little girl saying, "Yeah, this is my grandfather." And he said, "Well, her mom just called and couldn't make it, and she sent me to pick up my granddaughter." Or the teacher who had to enforce the school's safety protocols. These safety protocols, because unfortunately, this is a world in which, well, I think it's just like Jesus tells us. "All who came before me," he says, "are thieves and robbers. Indeed, there are savage wolves out there seeking access to the children whom Jesus refers to as the sheep. They want in amongst the sheep." And Jesus means by this God's precious people. God's precious people who at that time when Jesus was here were being safely guarded, were being kept safe and secure under the guardianship of the law of Moses, and therefore kept far away from so much of the sin and temptation, the rampant evil of this world, because the Lord was adamant with his people. The Lord said to Israel, "This world is filled with prophets, spiritual guides, religious leaders. It's filled with successful people, and they're all advocating their way of life. But Jesus says, they are not shepherds of the sheep. They are not the shepherds of the sheep. And so what they are doing, Jesus says, ultimately, is to steal, kill, and destroy by leading people away from the everlasting life of God." Jesus says they're constantly trying to get in over the wall amongst the sheep. "But I have come," Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Because what I came to give to you is the very life of God, the awesome, everlasting, indestructible life of God. This is what I have come to give to you. And my sheep," Jesus tells us, and this is my first point this morning, "my sheep," Jesus tells us, "they won't follow anyone else. They won't go with anyone else because my sheep recognize my voice. Recognize my voice." Which is to say, well, it's sort of like in those days before call display. I mean, now when the telephone rings, we always know who it is that's phoning us even before we pick up the phone. And that's the reason sometimes we don't pick up the phone, isn't it? I have a friend. I tell him, "I phone you all the time and you never pick it up." Call display, right? It's call display. You know who's phoning. Or you're sitting down at the supper table and the phone rings. It's a call center. So I don't pick up the phone. We know who's calling. Usually, though, in those days before call display, I would pick up the phone, and after the person had said a few words, I'd usually recognize who it was because of their voice. I'd recognize their voice, and especially if it was my father who was calling, because in my mind anyway, my dad has a very unique and distinctive voice. It's been indelibly imprinted upon my consciousness from my earliest days. And even though weeks may have gone by since I've actually spoken with him, I always instantly recognize his voice. And thus, Jesus tells us, in this world of thieves and robbers, of savage wolves seeking access to the sheep, with this idea in mind and that idea in mind to lead God's people away from the everlasting life of God, Jesus says, my sheep recognize my voice, and they follow only me. I mean, I often think of the call stories in the New Testament, the call stories. You know, when Jesus would walk up to, say, Peter and Andrew, James and John, and these guys are at work. Because these guys have to work. They have families to feed, children to clothe, bills to pay, responsibilities to fulfill. They need that job. They can't lose that job. But if you read the call story, Jesus just shows up at their workplace and he says to them, follow me. I mean, no flashy miracle does Jesus do. No amazing sign in the sky does Jesus perform. He does nothing at all to demonstrate to them his awesome secret identity, that he is in fact the timeless, eternal, all-powerful Son of God. No, Jesus just says to them, follow me. And they do. They walk off the job to go who knows where for who knows how long because they recognized when he spoke to them, they knew who he was in here. Maybe not quite yet up here, but they knew who he was. Because Jesus tells us, and this is my second point this morning, Jesus tells us the gatekeeper, he opened the gate in Jesus to give to Jesus access to the sheep. Which is to say, well, I recall another time when Samuel was much younger. I think he was probably in kindergarten. And for whatever reason, something came up and neither Kathy or I could get to the school on time to pick him up. So we sent Hillary. And they let Hillary take him home because at the beginning of the school year, we had filled out the form, given permission for Hillary and Chuck, I might call Chuck one day, to pick up their little brother at school if need be. And whereas I'm not really sure what happened, did they ask to see Hillary's ID at the door? I have no idea, but if they had, if they had checked it out, they would have known. Hillary met all the criteria. She had all the proper credentials, and therefore she could, and they did, release Samuel into her care. And this is what Jesus is telling us about himself, that the sheep, all safe and sound under the guardianship of the law of Moses, the sheep recognized my voice. And so they left their guardian behind in order to come with me. Because the gatekeeper recognized me. He really did. And so he opened up the gate in me to give to me access to the sheep that I might lead them out into the everlasting life. The gatekeeper opened up the gate in me. See, John the Baptist, he's out there baptizing in the Jordan River. And I think you have to know what Jesus said about John. This is what Jesus said about John the Baptist. I'm telling you, in all the history of Israel, overflowing with some of the greatest men and women who have ever lived, greatest in terms of their faith in God, greatest in terms of their zeal to serve the living God, people whose achievements in living the righteous life God desires, oftentimes despite the most adverse of circumstances, well, some of these people, they were better than the best. I really need to break the rules of grammar. They were the besterest. They really were. Yet Jesus tells us John the Baptist is the greatest of them all. He says no one has ever attained the heights of personal righteousness that John has attained. And yet John is out there in the water looking for someone greater still. He's looking for the one who meets the criteria. Someone who has far surpassed any of the spiritual giants of Israel's history. And suddenly, there he is, standing in the water right there before him. You don't need to be baptized by me, John says to Jesus. Which is John's way of saying the most amazing thing you could ever say to anyone. Jesus, John is saying, you've committed no sin. You've done nothing wrong. You've never said a single word. You've not even thought a single thought that was wrong to think, Jesus, you don't need my baptism of repentance. But John, Jesus says, John, let it be so, that I might fulfill all righteousness. Because I have come to do just as Moses said I would do, to offer my life for you. So down under the water Jesus goes, and the gatekeeper recognizes him, thus to fling wide open the doors that the Holy Spirit might descend from heaven upon Jesus. Because, and this is my third point this morning, my friends, Jesus tells us, I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. Which is to say that Jesus is unlike anyone else out there in our world today, or at any time in the history of our world. And I mean by that all these people who are saying to us, I've had this spiritual experience, so listen to me. Or this is what happened to me, so let me tell you what I have found out. Or you should do this, that, and the other thing because I really think that God spoke to me. No, Jesus is not like any of these at all. For John the Baptist was out there looking for the one who met the criteria established 1,500 years before him through the revelation given to all Israel when God spoke to them from the mountaintop, detailing for Israel the perfect human life, the perfect human being that was to come, who would totally offer up his life in our place by going down under the waters of death, that he might take up his life again on the other side of death, that the entire human race could be saved by passing through the door that has been opened wide for us in him, the door that leads through his own self into the everlasting life of God. And thus, the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, that through Jesus, the presence of God might flow into this world. Indeed, that through Jesus, when he speaks to you and I, he might speak with a voice that is more than human, for it is the voice of God himself. And this, my friends, this is exactly what we read in all the Gospels. People saying things of Jesus like, no one has ever spoken like this man before. He speaks with authority, not like the teachers of the law. Even the evil spirits would cry out when Jesus spoke. They would say, we know who you are. We've heard your voice before. You are the Holy One of God. And thus did even the wind and the waves obey him, because the gatekeeper had opened wide the gate. The Spirit had descended upon Jesus in bodily form, so that when Jesus spoke, yes, my friends, when Jesus speaks, God speaks. God speaks. The very same God who spoke the universe into existence. The very same God who spoke from Mount Sinai to the nation of Israel. The God who had been speaking through the prophets and the written word for countless centuries. The voice that had been indelibly imprinted upon Israel's national consciousness. The voice they had heard for so long. So that when Jesus finally came, they might have life and have it more abundantly by following him. Because this is the good news, my friends. Should you hear the voice of Jesus, and should you listen to that voice and follow him, you will find yourself to be passing through the door that has been opened up in him. And you will therefore enter into the awesome, abundant, everlasting, indestructible life of God. A life far more abundant than the one you know right now. Because it is the life, in fact, that has been prepared before the creation of the world for God's children. Yes, for the sheep of his pasture. And thus Jesus tells us, and this is my fourth point this morning, Jesus tells those people 2,000 years ago, he says, I have other sheep, not of this pen. I have other sheep, not of Israel, not even of this time and place, but I will speak to them, and they will listen to my voice, and they will follow me, because I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. See, Jesus is telling us there are people out there in our world today who are his. They are his. They always have been his. Even though they may not know it yet, they are his. Because when Jesus speaks to them, yes, speaks to them, not in the way this world's thieves and robbers speak of their great spiritual experiences, their studied wisdom, their incredible successes, their signs and wonders, but when Jesus speaks to them through his utter sacrifice of self upon the cross, his suffering and dying for them, this love that goes beyond our knowledge to comprehend, when Jesus speaks to us, my friends, Holy Spirit adds to his voice. The entire history of salvation, indeed, the cutting weight of the Holy One himself, the God who transcends this universe, comes crashing down upon us in all his eternal weightiness, that we might know, yes, know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know, Jesus is the gate we must pass through. Jesus Jesus alone. Because through Jesus we step into the everlasting life of God, that even though it lays down its life, it has the authority to take it up again, that you and I might forever live in him, the awesome life of the living God. And thus, my friends, by way of conclusion this morning, what I say to you, I say to everyone, read the Bible. I say that to everyone. Read the Bible. If you do anything at all in the course of your day, the course of your week, if you do anything at all in your year, read the Bible. Because the Bible has been given to us to train our ears, to attune our sense of sound, to develop within us the capacity to recognize and to distinguish the voice of Jesus from all the other voices that are out there. Because Jesus is telling us the truth. There are thieves and robbers, savage wolves in our world today, seeking to lead the sheep astray. And if the sheep are not very careful indeed in their listening, I mean, there was a time again when I was quite a bit younger than I was right now, and this was back in those days before call display. Phone would ring in my parents' kitchen. Nobody was calling to talk to me. Nobody was phoning me. They were always calling for my older sister, Miss Popular. And at that time, I guess I was quite a bit younger, and so my voice sounded pretty close to the sound of my sister's voice. So I would pick up the phone in the kitchen, and I'd say, hello? And this other person on the end would say, hi, Kathy. And I would say, hi. And then I'd find out everything in my sister's personal life, because I would say as little as possible, because I knew if I started to talk too long, it wouldn't take very long until someone said, hey, you're not Kathy, you're her little brother, get off the phone. Thieves and robbers, savage wolves, and I mean by that people attempting to imitate the voice. Imitate the voice to gather the sheep to themselves. But my sheep, Jesus says, my sheep, they know my voice. Just like Peter and Andrew did. Just like James and John did. They know my voice. Because they've attuned their ears. They've immersed their hearts. They've sunk their spirits deep down into my word. And so they'll never go with another because they know me and I know them. And I laid down my life for them because I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So my friends, believe the good news. Jesus is the gate for the sheep. And whoever hears his voice and follows him, they will go in through that gate and come out on the other side, thus to find themselves standing in the abundant, everlasting, indestructible life of the living God. All meant for you. Yes, you. If you will only listen to Jesus.